Thank you for choosing Weekly Politics as your podcast today. It's been a while since I've recorded an episode again. So we're just going to start with a very simple episode about the Iowa bill that was just passed. I don't remember the exact name of the bill. I just remember it was a bill specifically aimed at reducing, if not completely eliminating, the number of trans kids there are in the state of Iowa. And not necessarily because, oh no, transgenderism is wrong, but more of because your brain is not quite developed. That was what the bill was aimed for. I mean, critics of the bill are obviously stating, oh no, you're taking away human rights. And I mean, we'll get to that. It's an interesting argument, and I wouldn't use it if I were them because it doesn't go very well. So let's just get into it. So Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds just signed a bill into law basically restricting any transgender surgeries for people under the age of 18. And what this means for the state is if I'm 18 years old and I believe I am, just say hypothetically, I believe I'm transgender or whatever, right? I can't get the surgeries. I can claim to be transgender however much I want. But what I cannot do is go to a doctor and have that doctor prescribe to me or what's the word for it? Basically, say I have gender dysphoria and then give me a surgery based on that gender dysphoria. I cannot have that done until I'm 18 years old. The idea is really, hey, there are parents out there whose kids obviously state confusion with the opposite gender. Their kids might be, oh, hey, well, what about this and this and this with the opposite gender, right? And kids almost always have this. Kids will almost always have that. It's a natural thing for them, right? Parents don't see it that way. Some parents don't see it that way. Some parents will be like, hey, okay, maybe you're actually not a male, or maybe you're not actually a woman. And so then they'll sort of force their child into this, telling their child that it's helpful for them, telling their child that they need it. And then when their child comes out of it is happy, I mean, obviously, what did you expect? You just told the child that it's going to work. And the child is so convinced that it's going to work that when you have that surgery, it's going to feel like it works. I forget the term for it, but there's a term for this in medical studies. It's like a placebo. You need to have a placebo. So, in medical areas, hospitals, they have a sick person, two sick people, right? And let's say they have the exact same illness. Let's say it's COVID, and they're testing this new pill that can cure it in 2 days. But in order to actually test the effectiveness of this pill, they're going to give both people a pill. One of those pills is going to be the real one. The other one is going to be a fake one. So what they'll do is they'll say, hey, they'll add it to your daily medication, basically. And so this one person is going to be taking the pill. Maybe he'll feel better. And the other person who's taking the fake pill, maybe he'll feel better. If he does feel better, then basically what you know is these pills don't actually work. They're fake. I mean, they're not fake. One of them was a real pill, right? But the effects of it can be reproduced with your brain. So they're not really necessary pills. They don't actually work the way they're supposed to. But if the fake pill doesn't work, then you know these pills actually do indeed work. And you can go from there. That's basically what happens with transgenderism. You tell someone that, hey, you get this surgery and you change who you are completely and you'll feel so much better, and you tell them that constantly, over and over again, they will be so convinced of it that when they go through with that, for the first 6 months to a year, they will actually think they are better off. And that's an unfortunate fact. You're not actually better off. And there's quite a few people who go through this surgery who think they are better off at first, and then later on in life realize they are worse off because of their mistakes or their parents' mistakes or whatever. It doesn't matter whose mistakes they were, they realize they are now worse off than they used to be. That's not a good thing. This bill is basically aimed to reduce that. It's saying, hey, we're a very conservative state. The state of Iowa is extremely conservative. So let's reduce this a little bit, shall we? So let's look into it. Where is the most regret? Where are people going to regret their childhood or regret what they've done the most? And that is in their childhood. So why would kids choose to go through a transgender surgery in their childhood? Well, the basic thing is they can't. When you're a kid, you actually cannot go to a doctor and say, I need this surgery, and get that surgery without the parents co-signing or parents basically saying, yeah, he needs this surgery, give him this surgery. So as a kid, you actually can't do anything. So the bill isn't saying, hey, kid, you can't do this. It's saying, hey, parents, you cannot do this. That is how you target that. If it said, "Hey kids, you can't do this," and that would be virtue signaling because the bill would do absolutely nothing. But it's saying, "Hey parents, you cannot actually bring your kids to have a life-altering, completely changing surgery that will change your life forever, for better or worse, most likely for worse, before you're 18 years old. You can't drink before you're 18 years old. I mean, you can't drink before you're 21 years old, but you can't vote before you're 18 years old. You cannot have a life-altering, changing surgery before you're 18 years old." That makes sense. Now, these critics that I know already are saying, "Well, okay, yes, it's life-altering, it's life-changing, but it's also life-saving, isn't it?" I mean, after all, ask any transgender person if they're better off after their surgery, and they'll say, "Of course they are." I mean, first of all, placebo effect. Of course they're going to say they're better off for the first 6 months to a year. Are they going to continue saying they're better off after those 6 months to a year? Let's look into that. There are studies that have come out that say basically that what they did is they surveyed a whole bunch of supposedly trans people who claim to be transgender. They surveyed a whole bunch of them and asked them if, after their surgery, if they felt better or worse. And then they went into the mental health stuff and all of that. Yada, yada, yada. You get the point. And what they came up with is this. Supposedly, they came up with the idea or the fact that after a transgender surgery, your mental health actually improves. It's so much better. You have a lower rate of suicide. But then this study is actually a little bit wrong. There's these supposedly new people. They're not actually new. It's this group of people that have existed forever that Republicans talk about all the time and Democrats never talk about because it kind of completely defeats their entire point. They're called the X or D transitioners. People who, yes, went through the surgery, did these life-altering whatever, and then now they're like, "Wait a minute, this isn't what I want. My mental health is not better. The placebo effect has basically worn off. This isn't really who I am. Yes, I changed me, but I'm never actually going to be a real man, or I'm never actually going to be a real woman. That's not how it works. I realize that now. Yes, I changed how I look, but I'm still me. Still born a man, still born a woman." They realize that. And this group is actually growing significantly. So the mistake of the survey is this. These detransitioners do not consider themselves transgender. That's why they're called detransitioners, right? The survey only surveyed people who consider themselves transgender, which means detransitioners are not in that group. And every single person who regrets transitioning from male to female or female to male, whatever, is not considered transgender. They don't consider themselves transgender. But every single person who does like it for those 6 months to a year, they do consider themselves transgender. So basically, you're only surveying the people who will give you the answers you want to hear. There is no basis for the survey. The survey has one goal, and it's going to chase that one goal. And it will come up with the answer you are looking for. That is the survey in a very basic nutshell. There's some famous person, whatever, it doesn't matter his name. There's a famous person who said that there's lies and there's statistics. And I agree with that. Lies are a simple word or a simple phrase. I can say something and it will just won't be true. But a statistic, it will try to prove to you that it is true while flat out lying in your face. That is the survey. The survey is that type of statistic, a lying statistic. It's here to prove that transgenderism is good, while at the same time knowing flat out that it's wrong. Lying to you to prove its agenda, to prove its point. These surveys, they're kind of annoying. They're all over the place. You'll find them all over the place. Good news is there's organizations that look into these surveys and look at the basis of these surveys and find out, hey, this isn't actually true, or hey, this isn't really what's going on. The Heritage Foundation is a really great organization, heritagefoundation.org. They're a great organization. They look into a whole bunch of different statistics and surveys, and they find the truth into them. So if you ever feel like the world's going against you, which it is if you're a conservative, I would highly suggest looking into the Heritage Foundation. They're an excellent source. So again, this bill doesn't hurt anyone. I know quite a few Democrats, actually, and these Democrats agree with me. You should not be able to have a transgender surgery under the age of 18. It's just, your brain is not developed until the age of 26 if you're a man. And by the way, states cannot actually make a law that separates men and women. That's called segregation, and it would go up to the Supreme Court and be shot down. So if I know men have a fully developed brain later than women do, right? But we cannot make a law that says, okay, men, you can't have a transgender surgery until you're 26, and women, you can't have a transgender surgery until you're 21. We can't actually have that type of law. It doesn't, yeah, it won't do anything. I mean, it will, but it's going to be shot down before it gets into effect because of the anti-segregation laws and anti-whatever laws. And yes, these laws are good. We need these laws to do more good than they do bad. So don't be like, oh, we need to get rid of these laws, or oh, we need to change them. If we change them, they might just get worse. We don't know. We don't know what the risks are of actually changing them. So let's just let's keep the quid pro quo of those laws, and let's just use what we have available to us in order to try to limit these transgender surgeries under the age of 18 at the very least. I understand there's quite a few people out there who support the transgender community. I have to ask you a question, though. What do you mean by support? Do you mean you agree with them transitioning from male to female? Do you mean female limit, whatever? Do you mean you don't want to stop them from transitioning? There's multiple different definitions for people when they say you support something. I'll tell you what I believe when it comes to transgender people. When it comes to transgender people, I believe that yes, you should not be able to transition under the age of 21 just because it's, right in the middle, whatever. 18, fine, whatever. I'll be fine with 18. But then past the age, whether it's 21 or 18, I can't stop you. I don't want to be a massive government. I don't want there to be this massive government looming over you, telling you what to do with your life. When you're a kid, yes, that's necessary. Your parents are that massive government when you're a kid. Your parents are supposed to be like an autocratic, whatever, society, basically leading you, teaching you how to live your life, teaching you what you need to, what they believe you need to know. That is what parents do. That is their goal. That is their role in life, right? That's their role as a parent. Teach you and raise you in the ways of, well, as a Christian, in the ways of the Lord. As an atheist, I guess, in the ways of the void. I don't even know. You get the point, though. Once you're an 18-year-old adult, you can do whatever you want. You want to hurt yourself and harm yourself and destroy your mental health? Go right on ahead. I can't stop you. But I can tell you that it's a bad idea. I can try my very hardest to convince you, without signing laws, that it's a terrible idea when you're over the age of 18. I can go out into the world and give speeches trying to change the culture, trying to tell everyone transgenderism is not what we need. We have men and women were created for two purposes. We are to serve God and we are to multiply, be fruitful and multiply across the earth. That is in Genesis 1, the very basis of the Bible. That's what it says. Be fruitful and multiply. We are not to change ourselves. We are not to destroy our God-created, God-loved body. That's not who we are. I can't stop you, but I can try as hard as I possibly want to convince you it's a bad idea. And you say, hey, but it might help my mental. No, it's not going to help your mental health. It's not going to. You'll transition into a woman or you're into a man, whatever. And then you'll realize, hey, wait a minute. Everyone's telling me that people are going against me, which means now I think people are going against me. Again, placebo effect. If every single person who you hang out with on your side of the aisle says, hey, these people hate you, you're going to think those people hate you. Hey, these people want to stop you from doing this. Hey, you're going to think those people want to stop you from doing that. And then when someone says something very simple like, hey guys, how's it going? And you think or you pretend that you're a woman, you're going to be offended. And yes, there's videos of this happening. There's a video of a guy who thinks he's a woman going into a restaurant and ordering food, right? And he's with a bunch of his friends, whatever. And the guy, cashier, register person, whatever he is at the register and he says, hey guys, how's it going? He says, hey guys, how's it going? A very simple phrase. Guys not meaning, hey men, but simply meaning, hey people, how's it going? That's all he meant by hey guys. And this transgender man, this man, gets extremely mad at him. Like, dude, there was no offense meant. This is what happens. Placebo effect. People tell you that you are oppressed, you're going to think you are oppressed. There's a really good example I have of this, and this It's about oppression, but I'm going to give the racism example because it's super easy to give. It's really easy to understand. People say the system is racist. They say black people are incarcerated more than white people. Yes, that's true. Black people commit more of the crimes than white people. That is true. Therefore, the system is racist against black people. No, not necessarily. People also say, or no, sorry, people never say that the system is racist against white people, but yet white people are incarcerated more than Asian people. Does that mean the system is racist against white people? Using your logic, it does. But no, the system is not racist against any single race. It's just that black people actually do commit more of the crimes than white people. And since they commit more of the crimes, they're going to be incarcerated more than white people. That's just a simple fact. Now the question is, why do they commit more of the crimes? Maybe we should stop thinking about how racist the system is and start figuring out why they actually commit more crimes than white people. Why are their communities poorer? Why are they this? Why are they that? Then we can actually start solving problems in life. That's what we need to do with this transgender stuff. We can't be like, oh no, the system just hates you. No, we need to figure out why you want to become transgender. We need to actually give you mental health care. Your problem is in your brain, not on your body. You need to fix the mental part, not the bodily part. You fix the bodily part to make it however you want? Fine, you're not going to be satisfied. When you're rich, you want more money. When you're poor, you don't want money. That's how that works. It's the same thing there. When you're transgender, you want more. When you're not transgender, you are completely content with who you are. And I suggest you start being content with who you are. I'm not a pastor, I'm not a philosopher, I'm not a educational teacher. But surprisingly, I do seem to know more than the average professor. Simply because the average professor tells you that you can be a woman even if you're a man. The average professor tells you that you can be a man even if you're a woman. The average professor tells you you can do whatever you want with your life and be just fine. But the average professor is wrong. The average person is wrong. And you might say, who am I to tell you? I'm not an expert. Who am I to tell you? I'm a human being, just like you. Who are you to tell yourself that you need to be transgender? Who are these other people to tell you that you need to be transgender? I'm a human being like you. I suffer from sin like you. I suffer from so many things. Yes, I might suffer them differently. I might suffer slightly different things. It doesn't matter. We are all human beings. We all sin in our own way. We all suffer from that. And the only way to get around this is not by going headlong into it, but by praying to Christ. That is the only way around it. There's my rant. Since this is a political episode, let's get into the politics part of it, outside of the culture part of it. What does this mean for the world? America's seen as a shining city on the hill. We are seen as Mount Zion in the worldview, right? Denmark, believe it or not, has an entire educational program, an educational class, specifically on learning the American system of government. That's Denmark. They're in Europe. They're a democratic country in Europe. Why are they learning American government? I don't know. It's the way they are. So, clearly, America is the shining city on the hill. Every country looks to America. What does this mean for those countries? Believe it or not, correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't look this up. I should have. I should probably look this up to ensure this is a true thing or not. I believe there's quite a few countries in Europe that actually already have this law saying you cannot have a transgender surgery under the age of 18. And that's good. Good for them. Yay. This law that Iowa has, it's spreading throughout the United States of America. There are already laws in place in Texas, Oklahoma, I think even Florida now, Iowa. There's so many of these laws in place already. This isn't the first. And it isn't the last. I don't think laws should be made stopping you from transitioning past the age of 21. There are some laws. Is it Oklahoma's law? It's either Oklahoma or Texas. They have a law that says past the age of 26. If I were them, I would have passed the law and said, no, past the, you can't be do it past the age of 21. But I don't want to undo this law, because the risk of undoing that law is that the Democrats will take control of it and they'll stop it from going through. So basically, you'll pass a law undoing that law, and then you'll try to amend the law at the same time, passing another bill saying, hey, I want it to be no transgender surgery past the age of 21. And Democrats might actually have enough support at that point to basically stop that from going through. Essentially saying, hey, transgender surgery is for everyone. That's the risk. So the question is, do the pros outweigh the cons? And in this case, no. They should have done, it said, when they were first passing the law, you cannot do this past the age of 21. That would have been so much better, but here we are. I can't stop it. No one can stop, obviously. It's already done. Try to undo it, and it might just get worse. So let's leave it as it is. It's fine. That's basically my episode for the day. A lot of cultural stuff. That's because today, culture has become a very mainstream part of politics. I don't like it any more than you guys. I don't like how the culture is just this political part. As a saying, and the saying I'm pretty sure I invented, I'm taking credit for the saying. Let the economics be done with the businesses. Let the politics be done with the politicians, and the culture be done with the culture revolutionists. Don't let those culture revolutionists interfere with politics. Don't let those politicians interfere with the culture. Don't let those businesses interfere with the culture. Don't let those businesses interfere with the politics, vice versa. Basically, if you're a business, focus on business. If you're a culture revolutionist or an activist, whatever, focus on being an activist. Not by law, but by trying to change the culture with your words. If you're a politician, focus on signing bills into being that will help the country be more free, be more better for everyone. Focus on that. By the way, something with freedom. There's a lot of critics are going to be telling me this. Yeah, we're a free country, which means you should be able to have transgender surgery, whether it's good or bad, before the age of 18. No, this isn't a free country until you're 18 years old. I hate to break it to you. Technically, it's not even a free country until you're 21 years old, because you can't drink until you're 21. Before you're 18, you are basically bound to your parents. That's a good thing. You need to be bound to your parents. This is not a free country until you're 21. So, yeah, kind of a flaw in that argument. Another argument they're going to be saying is trans rights are human rights. Yeah, no kidding, trans rights are human rights. I'm not saying they're not human rights. A serial killer's rights are human rights. Did you know that a serial killer has the right to kill anyone he wants until there's a law passed saying he doesn't have the right to kill anyone he wants? Saying that it is illegal to kill anyone, period. Did you know that? Because when you're walking in a forest, you have the right to do whatever the heck you want until there's a law passed restricting you to do it from doing whatever the heck you want. Yes, it's a human right. Guess what? It's not anymore. Done. Rights are very interchangeable. You can just be like that. Done. That's what makes America such a great country. Not that we can restrict you, but that our rights exceed any other countries out there, and yet we still need to restrict some things for the better of all people. There we go. That's the official end of the episode. Next episode will also be coming out today. I'll be posting two because I didn't post any earlier, and I'll try to have one out tomorrow. I don't know if I will or not, but I'll try. I'll see you all later. God bless you. Adios.